Book of Genesis, chapter 28. The ninth scene that we want to consider is mentioned here in verse 11 of Genesis 28. And he, that is Jacob, lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. Jacob's arrival and stay at Bethel marked a turning point in his life. Prior to his coming there, Jacob certainly lived up to the meaning of his name, supplanter. Jacob had never shown any interest in the things of God. Neither had he ever had a meeting with God. The son of Isaac was full of self-interest. Cared very little about his fellow man, never mind God. He was prepared to deceive his aged father and claim his brother Esau's birthright simply to further his own cause. But something was to take place at Bethel which was to change this man, so they would never be the same. Bethel was to Jacob what the burning bush was to Moses. Bethel was to Jacob what the vision of the holiness of God was to Isaiah. Bethel was to Jacob what the meeting with Christ on the Damascus Road was to Saul of Tarsus. For at Bethel, Jacob met with God, and that meeting changed Jacob's life. Such meetings with God will change a man's life. Certainly did for Jacob. Bethel means the house of God. And that night at Bethel, or the house of God, Jacob's life was changed. Maybe, believer, it was in the house of God where your life was changed. It certainly was. For me, it was in the house of God. House of God, where I met the Lord and He met with me. And that meeting marked the turning point in my life. And I want to look at this meeting that Jacob had with the Lord that night at that place called Bethel. I want us first of all to consider the night that Jacob visited Bethel. Jacob had stopped for the night at Bethel on his way to a place called Haran. He was fleeing for his life. He had deceived his aged father. He had provoked the anger and the wrath of his brother Esau. And it was recommended to Jacob that he leave home and go to Haran and trust that in the passing of time that Jacob's anger and fury would turn away from him. So we first of all, regarding his visit to Bethel, want to notice his departure from Beersheba. Look at verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. There's his departure. He went out from Beersheba. He went out from that place knowing that his brother was intending to kill him. When Esau recognized and realized his brother had deceived him out of the blessing of the firstborn, Esau then had murder in his heart, and he was prepared to kill his own brother in anger and fury. And so Jacob went out from Beersheba. It was for that reason that he went out. Mark the words. And Jacob went out from Beersheba. But it's not what sin does. Sin drives men out. Sin drove Jacob out of Beersheba. Sin drove our first parents out of the garden. Sin drove Peter out into the night, where he wept bitterly. Sin drove Judas out into the night, where he went and hanged himself. And Legion. The sin in Legion's life drove him out of his own home. He hadn't spent an hour in his own home or in his house for years. Sin drove him out, and he made his abode among the tombs. That's what sin did to all of these men. Sin always drives men out, always out and away, away from God. Didn't sin do the same in your life and mine? Didn't it drive us out from God? Drive us away from God. Sin always takes a man away from God. Drives him out. And on the day of judgment, the sinner will be driven out from God. He'll stand there before the great white throne. He'll stand before the one that he rejected all of his life. And then he'll hear those words, "Depart from me." There he's being driven out. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That word "depart" means go away. Means to go away or go on a journey. And the Lord will say to those in the day of judgment who rejected him, he will say to them, "Depart." He will say, "Go away. Go away from before my face." And they will go away, and they'll go on a journey from which they will never return. That's what sin does, drives men out, away from God. Not only do you have his departure, you have also his direction. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, Haran isn't mentioned very often in the scriptures. But I find that on a number of occasions, Haran is associated with death. Would you turn with me, please, to Genesis 11? Genesis chapter 11, verse 28. "And Haran died before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees." So there's Haran, the person. And we're told about his death, Genesis 11, verse 28. Now look at Genesis 11, verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died. Where? In Haran. So there is death associated with the person and death associated with the place. And here is Jacob, and he goes out from Beersheba, and he journeys on towards Haran, the place that is associated with death. You think of who's coming after him, who's pursuing his brother Jacob. And so there's Jacob. He's being pursued by death, and he's facing death. And that he's going to Haran, the place that's associated with death. Isn't that the plight of the sinner? And there are many Jacobs in this world today. They're being pursued by death, and they're facing death. I'm sure Jacob many, many times as he journeyed towards Haran and before he came to Bethel, many times I'm sure he looked over his shoulder. The distance between Beersheba and Bethel is a distance of some 45 miles. And over the course of that journey, I'm sure Jacob looked over his shoulder, wondering, was Esau in pursuit? This man that was planning to kill him, this man that had death in his heart, wonder, was he pursuing Jacob? You know, a sinner would do well to look over his shoulder, because the sinner is being pursued by death. Revelation 6, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. The sinner is being pursued by the rider on the pale horse. And the rider's name is Death. And what is it that's following death? Hell followed him. That's the plight of the sinner. They're being pursued by death. And they're going towards their Haran. They're going towards the place of death. For the wages of sin is death. One day they'll collect those wages. Someone gave a title to that text, "The Worst Paid Workers Who Never Go on Strike." They're the worst paid workers. Because what are their wages? Their wages is death. Notice not only his departure from Beersheba and his direction, notice his darkness. Verse 10 again, or verse 11, we're told, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. So when Jacob got to Bethel, it was night because the sun had set. It was darkness all around them. You know, in many ways, for Jacob, that was a very dark night, an exceptionally dark night. That was a very dark night in Bethel for Jacob, for he was alone. And he was afraid. That's something that makes the night very dark indeed, when you're alone and you're afraid. It's almost that kind of darkness that you can feel, and it makes the night very long. For Jacob, there was not only a darkness all around him that night, but there was a darkness in his mind. There was a darkness on his heart. There was a darkness in his soul. Because he didn't know God. It's only when someone comes to know God and comes to know the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, that they're brought out of darkness. And they no longer walk in darkness, but walk in the light. But Jacob didn't know the Lord. He'd never embraced the Father, or the God of his father, and the God of his grandfather. He didn't know the God of Abraham and Isaac. There was darkness all around Jacob. There were dark thoughts on his mind, dark deeds on his conscience, dark sins in his heart, dark stains on his hands, and a darkness which could be felt that was awaiting him. That's the plight of the sinner. For the sinner, there's darkness. They walk in darkness. They live in darkness. Dark thoughts in their mind. Dark deeds upon their conscience. Dark sins in their heart. And where are they going? They're going to that place of outer darkness. And they need the Lord Jesus. Their greatest need is Christ. Even as John has told us of the one who has come to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke 1 verse 79. And that same one said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Christ is the one who is able to bring the sinner out of darkness. Believer, he brought us out of darkness and he brought us into his marvelous light. Then you notice his discomfort. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And I've often thought, what an uncomfortable bed that was. Having stones for your pillow. For Jacob, at Bethel, it was a night of discomfort. He had no rest. Certainly, as he lay down that night, it wasn't a soft pillow that he placed his head upon. Remember, this was Bethel, the house of God. Jacob was not very comfortable in Bethel. He wasn't very comfortable in the house of God. All he had that night to lie on were hard stones. Sometimes sinners are not very comfortable in the house of God. They're not very comfortable. When they hear a word, they're even less comfortable. The preacher preaches the truth about heaven and about hell, about sin, transgression, and judgment. Oh, they're not very comfortable. Jacob lay down on that hard pillow. Do you know what does that remind us of? Reminds us of those words in Proverbs 13, verse 15, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Jacob was a transgressor. And he lay that night upon a hard pillow. The devil doesn't make it easy for transgressors. Oh, he leads them into sin. But the devil is a hard taskmaster. He's like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a hard taskmaster. Just in my reading this week, reading about Pharaoh, and Moses and Aaron went, call upon Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. He then told his commanders to go and tell the children of Israel, instead of getting the straw brought to them to make the bricks, then go and look for it themselves. But they must keep up the same rate of production. It's a hard taskmaster. The devil is a hard taskmaster. Everything's hard with a hard heart. With a hard taskmaster. With a hard way. So it was with Jacob. There's only one who can remove the pillows of stone. He sang there tonight, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary, one lay down thy head on my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, and all that sinners even tonight would come to Jesus as they are. And lay down their head, lay down their heart. Not on a stony pillow, but in the tender, warm, loving breast of Christ. The night of Jacob's visit to Bethel was also the night of Jacob's vision at Bethel. Jacob had no idea what would take place that night in that place that he called Bethel, the house of God. For that night he met with one whom he had never had any dealings with, one who had never met before, or one he would have heard his father Isaac speaking about and seen him worship. But one that Jacob himself did not know. He was a stranger to grace and to God. But that night Jacob met with the Lord, one he had never met with before. And all that men and women would come into this house of God and meet with God and meet with the God of Jacob. Meet with the one whom they had never met before. So that their night is turned into day. So that they have rest in Jesus Christ. He met with God that night as he journeyed toward Haran, just as Saul met with God as he journeyed toward Damascus. For Jacob and for Saul, those meetings changed them forever. It was while he was there that Jacob had this vision of the Lord. Look there in verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So Jacob had this dream, this vision. And in this dream, what was the first thing that he saw? He saw a ladder. We can say he saw the ladder. Because the word ladder is not found anywhere else in Scripture. It was the ladder. In Bible times, the Lord often revealed himself in dreams and visions. revealed as well to individuals through dreams and visions. Some dreams need to be interpreted. We consider Daniel and his interpretation of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Some dreams needed to be interpreted, and here we have Jacob's dream. And we have Jacob's dream interpreted for us. Interpreted for us by none other than the Lord Jesus himself. For Christ interprets the dream. And we find the interpretation thereof in John 1. In John 1, verse 50, and Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, that is Nathanael, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so here we have Jacob's dream interpreted for us. The ladder, the ladder, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the ladder. And look at it. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. There the ladder was set up on the earth. And as Jacob looked in this dream, he could see that it went upright up, up, up to heaven. In other words, this ladder spanned a great gulf between earth and heaven. This ladder spanned a great gulf that existed between man and God. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can span that gulf that exists between man and God. We said the word ladder is not found anywhere else in the Bible. In the 66 books of the Bible, this is the only place that the word ladder is found. That makes it a unique ladder, does it not? For in Scripture, there's no other ladder like it. And since the ladder speaks to us of Jesus Christ, there is none like Jesus Christ. He is unique. There is indeed none like him. Jacob saw one ladder reaching from earth to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only ladder between earth and heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Sinner must climb that ladder. Something else. The word ladder may also be rendered staircase or stairway. You and I know it's easier to climb a staircase than it is a ladder. Jesus Christ is the stairway to heaven. And it's easy. It's an easy way. Some people say salvation, oh, it's too complicated. No, it's not. The story of salvation and salvation itself, it's all so complicated. No, it's not. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved down thy house. That was the message that Paul and Silas delivered to the Philippian jailer. That's simple enough. And the jailer understood what Paul and Silas said. There was nothing complicated about it. Jesus Christ is the way. And for sinners to be saved, there's nothing complicated about it. They simply come. Repent of their sin. Come to Christ. Look again at the letter. See what Jacob saw, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. It reached to heaven. Sometimes we may get out the ladder to do some work around the house, and we put the ladder up against the wall, and we discover it's not long enough. We need a longer ladder. Christ the ladder will reach to heaven. Hallelujah. And anyone who climbs that ladder, they will reach heaven. They're not going to just fall short of heaven. Christ the ladder, Christ the stairway, reaches all the way to glory. What a wonderful picture we have here of Christ. He not only saw the ladder, but he saw the Lord. The Lord stood above it. He saw the Lord. But notice that verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Here's the third behold mentioned with regard to Jacob's dream. There are four beholds in his dream. Here's the third one. Behold the Lord. Jacob had never looked to the Lord before. Now in this vision, he is being exhorted to behold the Lord. Just as John the Baptist called out upon his hearers, behold the Lamb. And that's our message to sinners. Our message to sinners is this, behold the Lord, yea, behold the Lamb. Oh, don't bother beholding the church. Don't bother beholding the preacher. Don't bother beholding the man. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lord. For He's the only one who can save. See, as Spurgeon was saved by that great text in Isaiah 45, verse 22. He went into an old Methodist chapel on one winter's morning. The preacher wasn't able to come. One of the men, the lay preachers out of the congregation, got up and preached. And he preached from Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me. Is that not what the Lord is saying? Behold the Lord. And that lay preacher that morning said to the congregation, and in particular to the young Spurgeon, he looked down and saw the young Spurgeon in the congregation. He said, young man, you look most miserable. That's personal preaching, all right. Young man, you look most miserable. You'll be miserable in life and you'll be miserable in death. Look unto the Lord. And Spurgeon said for the first time in his life, he realized the simple way of salvation, all he had to do was look. He believed he had to do something. He said if he had been told to crawl from John o' Groats to Land's End on his knees, he would have done it. if salvation waited for him at the end of the journey. He said if he had been told he had to give his back to many lashes of the whip, he would have done it. If it meant salvation at the end of it. Yet that morning he was told all he had to do was look. That's what Jacob had to do. Look to the Lord. Behold the Lord. Jacob, look. The message is the same. Sinner, look. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God, for he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. He saw the ladder. He saw the Lord. And he saw the land in this dream. Because in this dream, we are told, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land, see, he's been shown the land. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. He was shown the land. He saw the land in his dream. Now what's special about this land? It was the promised land. It was the promised land. The land had been promised to Abraham and to Isaac, and now it's being promised to Jacob. It was the promised land. And oh, that sinners would see the promised land and see the ladder that will take them to the promised land. Take them to the land that is called heaven. The land of Beulah. The land where there is no night, no sorrow, no suffering, no separation. That place called heaven. The land where the roses never fade. Heaven, where there is no sickness, no dying, no shrouds, no caskets, no funerals, no coffins, no graves. Heaven, a land that is purer than day, a land of happiness, a land of holiness, a land of harmony, and where the glorified sing hallelujah all the day long. He showed Jacob the promised land. And the gospel shows us the promised land. And listen to this. Listen to what the Lord said to Jacob. To thee will I give it. What a gift from the Lord to sinners. To thee will I give it. I'll give you the promised land. I'll give you heaven. So we showed him the ladder. He showed him the Lord. He showed him the land. And he showed him his life. His life. For the Lord said there in the end of verse 13, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad in the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will give thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." What was the Lord doing? He was showing Jacob his whole life. And in that dream, Jacob could see his life before him. And as he looked into his life, he could see one who was walking beside him. And that one who was walking beside him was none other than the Lord himself. For the Lord said to him, "Behold, I am with thee." There's the fourth behold. "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee." You know, when the sinner looks out upon his or her life, what does he see? He sees a very lonely road. He sees a road that's strewn with trials and tribulations and troubles. And as he looks upon all those trials and tribulations, he sees himself facing them all alone. And when the journey's over, he sees himself descend the valley of death. And he sees himself walking down that valley alone. For the Christian, as we look upon our life, believer, we don't know what trials and tribulation may come, but we know that we'll not have to face them alone, and we'll not have to cross Jordan alone. Because what did the Lord say to Jacob? "This land of promise, I will bring thee again into this land." In other words, the Lord's going to bring us home to glory. Praise the Lord. Finally, you have the night of Jacob's vow at Bethel. He did not expect a good night's sleep, I'm sure. And many of us would. We lay down upon a stony pillow. Wouldn't expect a good night's sleep, but that night in Bethel, maybe Jacob had the best night's sleep he ever had. And when he awoke, we're told that he spoke about the place. Verse 16. "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place.'" I want you to notice repetition of the place. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Verse 17. "And he was afraid and said, 'How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" Verse 19. "And he called the name of that place Bethel, the house of God." So he looked upon the place as the place where he had met with God. But what a change. Look at verse 11. "And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place." When he arrived at Bethel, we're told about the place three times. When he awoke from his sleep and after his dream, he mentions the place again three times. But when you contrast the happenings when he arrived at the place and what took place there before he left the place. There's quite a difference. There's quite a contrast. When he arrived at Bethel, he was afraid. He knew not God. He never looked to the Lord. He was not comfortable. He was being pursued by Esau. Death was on his heels. But after he met the Lord, suddenly the place became very special to him. He said, "The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Many a sinner has come into the house of God and not known that they have come into the presence of God. The Lord was there. Jacob was unaware of the Lord's presence in that place. But suddenly that place became very special to Jacob. And for sinners, the house of God is not a very special place. Many a sinner would rather not go to the house of God. There's no love for the house of God. But when they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, when they climb that ladder, that staircase to heaven, suddenly the house of God becomes very special. They love the Lord's house because the Lord is there. And what did Jacob say? In verse 17, "And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Jacob never feared the Lord before, but now he does. And when he was in that place, he says, "I have been brought to the very gate of heaven." As many a sinner has been brought to the very gate of heaven, to the very door of heaven, when they've been in the house of God, but they've turned away. They've got so near to the gate of heaven, one more step maybe would have taken them in. Just like those in Capernaum. They had been brought to the very gate of heaven through the miracle working power in the ministry of Christ. And the Lord said, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted on to heaven," exalted on to heaven, "shall be brought down to hell." You have the place and you have the period. For we're told in verse 18, "And Jacob rose early in the morning." The darkness is gone. It's the beginning of a new day. And when sinners meet Jesus Christ, the darkness is gone. And it's the beginning of a new day. Beginning of a new life. And the promise. Jacob made a promise that day, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me now..." Jacob was not making a deal with the Lord here. He was not striking a deal. He wasn't saying, "If God will be with me, then I will be with him. Then I'll give my heart to him." The word "if" may be translated "since." Jacob vowed a vow saying, "Since God will be with me, based upon what the Lord said, based upon the Lord's word, Jacob said, I will give my all to thee. Then shalt the Lord be my God." Oh, that sinners would come to the same place that Jacob came to and say, "Then tonight the Lord will be my God. And this house, this Bethel, will become a special place to them. For it will be in this house that they'll be able to say, I was born there." Let's bow our heads in prayer.